I never even figure out that word that you're talking. I know what you're talking about. It's like the I know what you're talking about.
It has to do with like maintenance. Like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kitchen. I forgot. It's fine. if you remember it, just type it in. Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is November 23rd, 2020. I think it's Monday. Yes, Monday. I'm Benjamin Obai, and joining me today, he is the co-host of the YouTube podcast series Date Night, and he's one of the people I am very thankful for this year, John Abaya.
Because the week of Thanksgiving, and then we're all staying home with our family. Not like all our immediate family. But yeah, immediate family that you're living with. So we can, you know, what's the term they use? Make flat it flat.
The curve.
Flat the curve, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing still. I think we just don't want people to die.
In
this pandemic. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm thankful for my family.
Thankful too for my family.
This is the freaking awesome thankful list.
Yes.
Okay. Family number one. What else?
The birds of prey scene when
you're thankful for that.
Yeah, when what's her name?
Black gives Canary her gives hair her tie. Hair tie.
Yeah,
to,
Black Canary gives it to
Oh no, I think Harley gave it to Black Canary.
I'm thankful for the YouTube series Are You Scared?
Oh yeah. I'm thankful for not David Tennant.
Tennant?
What's his name? No. I don't know what the movie's called, Tennant, but I always forget. Christopher Nolan. Yes. Thankful for Christopher Nolan going against all studios. It's like, no, I need my film to come out.
He needs the money, apparently. Yep, anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually give our impressions of the things we watched, listened, played, and read throughout the week. And end it with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is Hulu's Animaniacs. Right?
Dun, dun, dun,
is that Hulu, or is it still Warner Brothers? I don't know.
They say a Hulu original in the beginning of it. So
okay.
And it's not the whole thing, though, too. I only watched like two episodes. So.
I've watched only one and a half.
Okay. So it's like our first impressions of the first episode.
Yes,
probably.
Yes, the first couple episodes.
I don't even know how many episodes, actually.
I didn't realize it stopped at like 2013. Did you know that?
No, that's like way after I was in high school.
So it returned in 2013. No, it's a volume set.
Okay.
Yeah,
the DVD volume.
That's
okay,
so
that
weird.
Sense.
Yeah, I don't know why they in their Wikipedia page. It's weird how they categorize all that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really say how many episodes they will have this year. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. So we're just gonna move on to what we've been doing this week, and we'll probably even mention the freaking awesome podcast list if you want to add something to it. I'll start with you, John. What have you been doing this week?
I watched two things this week. Let's start off with the one that goes with my theme this year about witches, warlocks, witches, or any in that vein. I watched the new witches movie, The Witches, with Anne Hathaway. I want to say Annapurna for some reason in the studio. Anne Hathaway.
I don't even know who that or Anna. Oh,
Annapurna is that studio. So this movie is directed by Robert Zemeckis. Zemeckis? I think I'm
Zemeckis,
saying that.
Yeah.
Yes. Starring Chris Rock as the narrator of the film. So in the original,
I did not even know that.
Yes. So it feels like it's that one show he used to do. I watched like a couple episodes. What's this called? It was like he's a little kid, and then Terry Crews was a dad.
It's like it's all about Chris.
Yes. I think
no, that's it's it. Not that title.
It's something like that. It's something with the word Chris in it, but it feels like that. Octavia Spencer as a grandmother, so she plays a grandmother, and Jazeer Bruno, and it's weird.
I think that's how you say yeah.
In IMDb, it just says Hero Boy, and I'm trying to remember. I don't even actually know he had a name in the film. I don't really ever remember if he said it had an actual name in the thing in the witches. So it's funny. Before this movie, I actually watched the original one because I wanted to like, how was the original? I watched it with my oldest son, Lennox, and I have to say it's probably one of my top five films now.
Oh, nice!
You ever watch
of all time?
There is so much stuff in that film that's so great. The practical effects is really good.
I remember it was scary.
Yes, it's scary.
Especially the transformation scene.
Yep, right? there's one boy, Bruno, who changes into like a mouse, and then he has the worst transformation scene. Like if you watch it on YouTube, you'll be like scared. I don't know why I thought it would be more horrific, the witches, but they are like scary looking, but it's that Bruno scene's the one that will scare kids. I don't remember ever getting scared of it as a kid. I thought it would look cool, but there's so many memories that after watching it I just brought up. Like there's a scene, I don't know if you remember, spoilers for the old witches movie, where the kitchen scene where they were putting poison and the little boy goes in the pants of one of the chefs and he's like super scared. And he's like going around the floor, hella scared and whatnot, taking off his pants, and then like kind of like going to curl up like a baby a little bit. And then Mr. Bean got mad at him. Mr. Bean's in this movie too. I totally forgot Mr. Bean.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson. Yeah.
There's so much stuff in there. And then in the very ending, I laughed so hard just watching that kitchen scene and totally forgot how funny it is. And then the one thing I really remember is that in the very ending, where there's still like little mices, Bruno and the best.
Yeah, I think it's mice, right?
If mice. It's plural. Both of them, yeah. And then they ride in their little Lego thingy.
I do remember this.
Yes,
now.
You remember?
Yeah.
So they ride in their little Lego thing all the way to their Ghostbuster house. I was like, I have that house. I had that. We had the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember watching that. I was like, I remember doing this. Like, remember building Legos to mimic that scene where it goes inside the house.
You mentioning it, now I remember it.
Yes. But yeah, I just have fond memories of it. Fast forward to the new one.
Well, I was going to mention real quick that the reason with the practical effects is because Jim Henson Productions, they were part of the producers of the film.
Oh.
Jim Henson himself was a producer of the film. That's why there's a lot of those very meticulous practical effects.
So like even the mouses in that movie, the original one, are all puppets. And what they did was they made oversized grapes. Like when they're all in... what you call that? In like
so they're
in a bowl
pulling
or
a Honey,
table.
I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes, they did. They did. Yep. Yeah. But they're not that far where they made big enough stuff where the puppet,
like they're not making
like
giant
a Kermit
ants.
The Frog. Yeah, like you're holding Kermit the Frog, or even that mouse in the Muppets. Why don't I say Kermit the Frog? Maybe as big as that mouse of the in the Muppets, that the one that has like a backwards hat. I don't know, he's like from New York. That mouse.
Oh, Gonzo's friend.
Yes.
The rat.
The rat. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I realized this is a weird thing to say on the podcast. Angelica Houston is really sexy in the film as the witch. There's a weird thing in the film that is, she kind of, I don't know. I showed Audrey the scene. It's like there's a scene where Bruno is going inside the house or the hall. Angelica Houston, who plays the witch, the Grand High Witch. And she's like kind of like shaking in this weird sexual way. And I was like, man, in my mind,
what
I was like
shaking as in
like she almost like having like an orgasm. It's
oh,
weird.
Okay.
Watch that scene in YouTube and don't tell me like it's weird. Like it's weird. Like that scene. And then watching it, I remember like as a kid, I was like, how did I feel about this scene? I mean, it's so weird when you watch it as an adult. It's like, I don't feel comfortable with my son watching this now because of the way she's moving and the way she's like kind of like hot and bothered about the situation. And it's just weird. It's a weird scene. Well, if
there's
you look
no
it
context
up.
To it. It just happened.
No, but she's like excited, I guess, that the Bruno's coming in because he wants his chocolate. Like, that's why. And all the witches like happy and excited, but her movement, her body language is so weird. Like when you rewatch that scene. Okay, enough about the original one.
I want to mention too, the Chris Rock show was called Everybody Hates Chris.
Okay, yes, yes. I knew something's like Everybody Loves Raymond, but it's opposite of it. So the new one with Anne Hathaway, it's good, but it's not like, I don't know, CGI just ruins it for me in that film after watching the original one. I don't know if it's like the budget. There's some CGI scenes like it just looks like CGI. Like it's like odd. There's a scene where they're in the hall.
I was gonna say
inside the hotel, and it looks like Star Wars prequel style CGI. Like the hall is fake. Like
I was gonna say, like Robert Zemeckis, he's really into like the whole visual effects CGI 3D.
Probably that's why.
Like I think
yeah.
initially, isn't this supposed to be a 3D film?
That explains a lot. So there's a scene. So in this one, Anne Hathaway, when she's a Grand High Witch, she can stretch her body, basically. Like her, they mimic snakes. There's a lot of like little details I really like. Like every witch is a snake because you know they turn to mouses. The kids turn into a mouse. So the predator of a mouse is a snake. So and a snake. On their with the witch is always on the with the witch, but it's on their outfit. So like, there's a cool scene with Anne Hathaway. She's wearing this purple, like, dress thing similar to what Angelica Houston was wearing, but there's a gold trim on it. But it's a snake, a gold snake. And there's like another one that she another witch who had a jade bracelet, but it was a snake. So I was like, that's kind of cool. They incorporate the animal into their outfits. So. Like, a regular human would never notice it. And I was like, that's kind of cool. It's literally the exact same story. Maybe added another character. There's another girl mouse in here. Maybe I'm kind of ruining that. I didn't expect that. So you remember in the original one, the boy has a mouse with him?
Yes, yeah.
Like playing? So it turns out in this one, the mouse he has is a girl mouse that was turned by a witch too. I was like, that's kind of cool. But she starts talking to him. That's why I was like, oh, when he turned into a mouse, she started talking to him. I was like, oh, I was a kid in, the 1950s or something. It's something weird. Like, she's an older mouse already. Like, if we give or take, if she comes back as a human or whatnot. I would recommend people who ever watched the original one just to watch it, just to see, to just dabble, like, the way they updated it a little bit. You might like it. There's little story beats I like about it. In the original one, if you remember, at the ending they have the book of all the witches in North America, and then they want to destroy them, like the lead the grandmother and the lead boy. That's the very ending of the original one. And then I always felt like in that ending I wanted to see the continuation of that. Stay for this movie if you want to see the continuation of that. Because I thought that was pretty cool, the ending. I had the same moment where, like, you just get like, oh, yeah, this is what I always wanted. And then I like when it's like, we're going to take it the fight to them type moments in movies. Like, Independence Day has that too. The sequel, Resurgence, have that moment. And I kind of like that just to, like, yeah, let's fight back.
That was, like, basically the best moment in that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll never get the sequel where, they time jump and Will Smith will be in it situation. But yeah, if you like the original one, the original one is probably my top five now after rewatching it. Just everything, practical effects, the story and whatnot. And then watching this, it's like, this is a good movie that I think you'll still enjoy. Even if you haven't watched the original one, yeah, it's a good movie to enjoy. I didn't know the person who wrote this book, The Witches, the original one, is the same one who wrote Matilda and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And then you see his other movies or books. I was like, this guy wrote a lot of good things. And then I feel like if I research more, he's probably going to be like a racist, right? Or something yeah. weird that I don't know about.
No, I don't think that will be the case at all.
Oh, are you sure it's that Lovecraft type thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. Okay. I think he is actually, there's a great, doesn't he not write, let me double check this really quick. He probably didn't write this though.
Like another book?
No, I'm thinking about someone else. I'm okay. thinking about Maurice Sadak.
Okay. Roald Dahl is his name.
Huh?
Roald Dahl, that's his name.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Maurice Sadak, where the wild things are.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, so that is The Witches, both on... they're both on HBO Max, huh?
Yes. Okay. I also watch another thing, but you can go... do your thing.
Yeah, we'll just go back and forth.
Okay.
So I also watched something that is on Amazon Prime, and I believe the second film of the anthology series is out as we speak. But I've only watched the first one. This is Steve McQueen's anthology series called Small Axe. So Small Axe will have five films that he filmed apparently back to back. So... these are like full length. These are not. It's not like a television series. These are actually like 2 hour films he filmed back to back in the course of like a couple of years or something like that, or the course of a year or something. But majority of the stories take place in Britain, and a lot of it has to deal with like their race relationship among like the black community and how that basically is formed and. How it was the activists that were the movement that was created in the 1970s and 80s. This one particular is a film called Mangrove, which is a restaurant in Notting Hill, and it's about essentially it's about the Mangrove Nine, which is a group of like British black activists that were tried. But for inciting riots of a protest in 1970 because of police brutality, more towards like how police harassed them in his restaurant. So Sean Parks plays the main character, Frank Crishlaw, who is the restaurant owner. And if you like films that are based on true events, especially films that are like uplifting in a sense, and films that has to deal with like especially how like the social climate right now, I really recommend this. If you don't know who Steve McQueen is, he's directed some of the best films I've watched, like Shameless and 12 Years a Slave, and a couple years ago he did Widows. I don't know if you remember that one, John, where it's a group of women who their husbands were all
Yes.
They were crooks, killed and they all died. Yeah, crooks, yeah. So
I haven't watched that though.
Oh, you haven't watched Widows?
No. I wanted to watch that because I like the premise and the people in it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. So with like his style is usually that he has like a couple scenes where he lingers on a shot. If you watch like 12 Years a Slave, there's a couple like well-framed lingering shots even in throughout Widows, and this one he has that still, and it's some interesting shots, I would say, but otherwise I really like how he still keeps that up on his in this anthology series. Everything about it is really great, the performances, especially the main characters who play the Mangrove Nine. There's a really great scene of one of the people who are accused. The character's name is Darkest Howe, and he was like a well-known like activist at the time, and he basically represented himself because he didn't believe in the system back then, the justice system in Britain. So he didn't want a lawyer that was like, you know, part of the justice system. So he represented himself. But it's a really great scene, especially like how everything is played in that whole courtroom scene. If you like courtroom dramas, this is like the best one I've seen in a while.
I think the only thing I see of this movie, I've never seen the trailer, is them in the courtroom, like the screenshots.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Usually there is like the screenshot. It's either them that or they're protesting. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I think the second film is coming out. It's already passed as we record. It's coming out today. But each film has a different type of vibe. I think the Lover's Rock is more of a romantic drama. But there's always this sense of like social commentary in the background. So even though like the next film is like a romantic drama, I think they still deal with like racism in Britain. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, I think one of them is next week, next Friday, or this coming Friday after Thanksgiving. It's the one that stars John Boyega, Red, White, and Blue, where he's like a cop who tries to change the system within. So I'm looking forward to that one. Yeah.
Is this still British? Like
it's all British. Everything always, everything takes place in London, I believe, or somewhere in the UK. But otherwise, yeah, because Steve McQueen is from there, and I think his first film is from there, but like he's been making a lot of American films. But I think he wanted to go back because that's basically, you know, how he started and whatnot.
It's called Red, White, and Blue?
Well, the third film of the... it's an anthology series, but it's not a television series because they're not shows. They're films, basically. Mm. Yeah.
No, but the one with John Boyega, what is that called?
Red, White, and Blue.
Huh, okay. There's too many things that are red, white, and blue.
Looking for it on IMDb?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to be under Small Axe. Because Small Axe is like the title.
Okay, that's why. This is the main thing. Okay, that's why I can't find it.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this?
For some context, why it's called Small Axe, it's from a popular Bob Marley song called Small Axe. But one of the lyrics is, if you are the big tree, we are the small axe. So basically, someone who's not, you know, part of the establishment or elitist to take down that, like, you know, the bourgeoisie would take down. Oh, no, the bourgeoisie. What are they called? The proletarians? I think that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. I forgot the...
don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so I recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Small Axe, so watch it. And what else have you been doing?
We went from HBO Max to Amazon Prime, and now let's go to Netflix, everyone.
They should make like a bundle of these subscription based streaming services.
Oh yeah, they should like have a box that has all these streaming services. You pay for them, you know, each one by one, and which one you like. Like if you like HBO, ESPN, you subscribe to those, and then they bill you every month, and then shows you all the stuff that you subscribe to. Like a entity should take care of all this.
Yes.
Like one. And if you entity, want like local stuff, you add that to your subscription too, and then
just also separate from your internet bill.
Yes. Internet,
why would
confuse
people? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway. And then it... Yeah.
They should call it cable with a K.
Why? I don't know.
Just to sound cool.
Cooler. It's Cooler Cable with a K. And then Ed Boon's the one that made the name. So going from another streaming service, I watched Auntie Donna. So... Auntie Donna.
You should say the whole... I feel like you should say the whole title. Do you remember the whole title?
Oh, yeah. I have to scroll down a little bit. It's called Auntie Donna Big Ol' House of Fun. So, yeah. Auntie Donna is new to me. I had no idea who are they. I found out about them on the podcast called Call Me Bang Bang with Scott Aukerman. They were on it. They were really funny. So, Audrey and I, my partner that's on date night... watched it together, and it's up your alley if you like Comedy Bang Bang. They're basically another like comedy improv troupe, you can say, or even sketch troupe, similar to The State or What are the one? I can't even think of one out of the state.
What? Really?
Man, can you, I mean, I can't
the human
think
giant
of one.
Is one.
Human Giant was one. Man, there was other ones. I know there's other sketch comedy.
Dang, what is Bob what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Why
Mr.
do
Show?
I not remember
Mr. Show,
that?
Mr. Show.
Mr. Show, yes.
Okay, yeah,
Mr.
yeah,
Show.
Like that. So it's in vain like that. There's very wacky humor. Like, it's not anti-humor. It's not like, what's their names? Eric and, not Eric, Tim and Eric, or Eric and Andre. Eric Andre.
Eric
They're
Andre,
not like
yeah.
that. Yeah, they're not that.
So it's not like anti-comedy type
of
humor.
They're not that far, but they're almost that far. They're very wacky in their sketches. They're very funny. In this special, this series is probably, I believe it's really short. It's like 6 episodes. Really short. It's a really short series in Netflix. It made me want to watch more. So they're called Auntie Donna. I don't know why they're called Auntie Donna. I try to look for this on the internet, and every time you look for it, people have like joke answers. I was like, I have no idea. They're from Australia.
So you were trying to find like more info about them?
Yes,
but they don't.
They don't have like they don't have a reason why they're called Auntie Donna.
Oh, okay.
Like I even went to their Reddit page and no one knows. Like there's that question always showing up, and people like gave like in Australia it means this, and then your aunt, and then Noah is like Noah. What I heard is this, and Noah I heard this. It's like oh my god, this is just a huge joke.
I wonder if it's literally just one of them. They have like an Auntie Donna, and then you know how
probably.
Like I feel like when it comes to especially improv sketch comedy. Troops, whatever. They just come up with whatever name.
Yep, yeah. So the main group that's always on camera are Mark Samuel Boyana, Broden Kelly, and Zachary Roan. So those are the actual people. They write and perform in the show. There's also a director and writer named Sam Lingham and the filmmaker Max Miller and the composer Tom Armstrong. So it's a big group. It's like, but the three main people you always see are Mark, Broden, and Zachary, basically on camera on the show. This is produced by Comedy Bang Bang, if you're wondering. So it's a show that
and Ed
Bang
Helms,
Bang.
Right?
Hmm.
Ed Helms is one of the producers.
No, not Ed Helms. It's Egg Helms, Ben, not Egg Helms. We've been saying his name wrong the whole time.
It's Egg Helms?
It's Egg Helms. Do you not know this? Go on Twitter. Its name is Egg Helms. We were spelling his name wrong the whole time. And Scott Aukerman, so the person who owns Comedy Bang Bang. I don't know what you call that. He's the owner, president, CEO of Comedy Bang Bang, is producing it. He's in it, too. It's pretty funny. Like your favorite improvs that you know that are in it. What's his name? Paul F. Tompkins in it. So if you guys like him, Krista Shaw is in it too. She's really funny in it. So it's very. I don't want
you forgot one person. Not seen the commercial. On
Egg
the trailer
Helms?
Is Noah Weird Al.
Oh, that's a good one too. That
yeah.
You'll figure out what is he in the show. I don't want to ruin any jokes, so I'm not going to talk about the jokes. I will talk about the jokes the way it is canon, I guess you could say. So from a series that's like very wacky and whatnot, everything takes place in this house, this big old fun house in LA, and then they're all like roommates and whatnot, and there's other roommates in the show that you'll see. And then the consistency of like episode to episode of the storyline is very good. Like you'll notice little things here and there, but they don't talk about it. Like there's a thing that they do that's an ongoing joke throughout almost all the episodes, but it's really funny because they just pile it and pile it. And I was like, oh, this is really good. Like the whole situation, what's happening. I know I'm talking very vague, but I just want people to actually
this is good. Like you don't
watch
have to
the show,
reveal.
Just watch the show. Yeah, watch the show and just pay attention to every moment, every scene, and every like little thing they're talking about. Because they just literally, I've never seen a show do this, especially a comedy show, where they're just very consistent of their canon, like their story. Like what's his name? Call me Bang Bang. He will be proud of this. He does TMT on CBB podcast. Oh, man, I forgot his name. Let me find
I don't know who
on CBB. Everyone knows him.
Did you watch the other sketch comedy show on Netflix called Tim Robinson's?
No. I know who is that.
He's
from Adult Swim too, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Diston. That's the guy I'm talking about. Sean Diston.
Oh, yes.
He loves canon and whatnot on Comedy Bam Bam, but he would be proud of this show. Yeah, I highly recommend this show for everyone who just wants like a really good laugh and just like be surprised of what happens on this show.
But, yeah. So that's everything you've done this week, right?
Yeah, that's everything.
So that's on Netflix, and that's called Auntie... What is it called?
Auntie Donna. Like Auntie Donna.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to look forward. I know you've been talking about it with me, and I haven't started watching it yet. So we're just going to go really quick because I had something to add on the freaking awesome list of 2020. No, excuse me. Anyway, I'm just going to mention the 10 things we have on the list. We need 10 more things to reach 20.
I add Auntie Donna.
Okay, so you're going to add... Okay.
Yeah.
So this is no order, no particular order, but it's in the order of chronologically how we said these things. So if it seems old, it's because that's how long we haven't recorded in a timely manner, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So The Birds of Prey, the film, especially the scene when she slides down. Is that the... it's a scene.
Yeah, yeah. It's only that scene.
Huntress scene when she slides down. And the other scene is another Birds of Prey scene, is when Harley Quinn gives her hair tied to Black Canary. The video game Animal Crossing New Horizon. Middle Ditch and Schwartz's Episode 2, Law School Magic. That's on YouTube. Netflix right now. Puppet History, which is a YouTube series. Are You Scared is also a YouTube series. Tenet, the film by Christopher Nolan. Lovecraft Country, the HBO show. And Atmosphere, A Day Before Halloween, which is an album. 10 is Witches, all of the witches. From this past year. So from Lovecraft Country, Betrayal, Autopsy of Jane Doe.
I've been watching, though. These Autopsy of Jane Doe and George Romero are old films.
Yeah, Jack's Wife.
Yeah, Jack's Wife, yeah.
So I've never watched that. So
that's on Shudder. If you want to watch it.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to watch it on Shudder. Another streaming service that we were talking about. Man, they should put all these streaming services together. I know.
Call Ed Boon. Call it cable. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It should be like an Xfinity streaming service.
You mean Infinity? Like nonstop streaming?
And you just added Auntie Donna, which is a television show, a sketch television show on Netflix. So I'm going to add an album again. This album that came out a couple of weeks ago is from A$AP Rock. For those who don't know, he is a rapper who resides in the Bay Area right now, but he's originally from New York. If you know anything about A$AP Rock, he's very intricate with his rhyming skills and whatnot. But he released an album this past couple weeks titled Spirit World Field Guide. And it's exactly what the title is. The album's basically about... It's like a concept album, which follows like a narrator through like the alternate world, including like both the hallucinatory and then like the real world. So it's basically if you're a spirit going to like the spirit world, and it's a guide for you. And each song resembles a part of that field guide.
Beetlejuice, right? Beetlejuice has
that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would say like similar to that, like how that show with the two main characters trying to leave Earth, but they have to go through Beetlejuice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So like a lot of the songs, if you know A$AP Rock, it's very intricate, kind of complex. A lot of his rhymes are usually you have to like look it up and be like, what the heck is he talking about? It's the same way here. I noticed there's like this theme of all his albums where the past three albums he has like animals, and I think he's very fascinated about like animals ever since he, you know, lived in the Bay Area. So like I don't remember, but like in the first, I think the it started with "None Shall Pass," where he talked about like pigs, which is his like, of course he's talking about like cops and whatnot. And then a couple albums ago, he talked about like this cat, and then a couple albums again, he talked about a dog, and this one he still talks about animals. I think it's just his way of like finding a way to like using them as like an allegory of things. So like in this, I'm just gonna highlight two songs from the album. I think it's like an hour long album or less. I think it's probably less than that. Let me double check. Oh yeah, it's an hour long album, but it has like about like 21 songs, so it's a lot. But there's the song I'm gonna highlight. One's called "Dog on the Door," at the door, and it's basically the point of view of a dog when the dog hears things outside of the house. What can it be? And it's the dog talking to himself and trying to do like trying to figure it out is it this thing or is it this thing? It's kind of cool concept. It's a short song, but I thought it was just fascinating how you get to live in a dog's mind. And then the one I really love is called "Marble Cake," and it's essentially about the song's about how the experience in life, because it's towards the end of the album where he's actually entering the spirit world, the character in the album, and how the experiences that we live on earth matters more than just the destination we're going. Because once you reach that destination, that's it. You just reached it. And then he has like a quote or like a line here says, "How I die is not important. It's how I live." And I was like, oh, okay, that's actually a really good quote and everything. And yeah. I really admire that, because I think the song after that talks about how you should keep on doing what you love doing the most. That song that follows up is the last song, called "The Four Winds." But yeah, it's a very interesting album. I think if you're a fan of Aesop Rock's past stuff, like especially the past 5 years, seven or decades stuff, old stuff, that you'll love this album still. His production is on point. Once again, he produces his own music, so this is really so great coming from him. But yeah, I recommend it. It's from the label Rhymesayers, if you know Atmosphere. So once again, Atmosphere. I mean, they're not on this song, but like it's their record label. So yeah, so that's Aesop Rock's Spirit World Field Guide, which is streaming anywhere. If you are a subscriber in any of the like Apple Music or Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. I'm going to download that. I like Aesop Rock. And
yeah.
I haven't listened to
There is a companion. I think there's like a piece on him where he actually explains each song. Because I know you have to find the article, but I forgot which website does it, where they interview him detailing each song, because I think it gets kind of like, but once you actually listen or read what he's talking about and listen to the song, it's oh, okay, that makes sense actually, what like his rhyming scheme and whatnot. So yeah, lastly, we're gonna talk about our main discussion. This week's main discussion is Hulu's Animaniacs.
Meets Pinky and the Brain, who wants to rule the universe. A brand new cast who tested well in focus group research. Gender balance, pronoun neutral, and ethically diverse. The trolls will say we're so passe, but we did meta first. We're Animaniacs. You should see our new contracts. We're zany to the max. There's glory in our slacks. We're Animani, totally insane.
Contains aspartame.
Animaniacs. Those are the facts.
That is a clip from the trailer of Animaniacs. So it has returned. Their last sighting from the water tower was from 2007. Oh, no, that's 2007. When was the last episode of... I say 2007, but it's 1999.
Oh, wow.
Which was a film, The Wacko's Wish.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite Christmas. It's the first time I've ever cried, and I remember vividly crying in that film.
Yeah.
I won't say why, but just watch it. And is it that one? I think it's that one.
Yeah, it's A Wacko's Wish.
It's the one with Pinky in the Brain?
Yeah, it's a Christmas special, yeah.
Okay, okay, yes, yes. It's a side story with picking the brain. That's why.
Yes, yes, yeah. Which is also equally great story. Too.
Yes, yeah.
So upon researching, like, you know, because we're going to talk about animes, I didn't realize the first season they made 65 episodes that first season.
Yeah, cartoons were like that back then. They were like making them a lot.
But what's weird is it dwindled after that season. It made like once season 2 only had 4, season 3 only had 13, season 4 only had 8, and season 5 only had 9. And that's like, oh, wow.
And they were banking on the 65.
They were banking. So the nostalgia that they're playing is literally from the 93 to 94 nostalgia.
Probably, that's all
like that, those 65 episodes are from there. And it's like, oh, wow. I didn't realize how like, they were just, their references are from that era.
Yeah. Yes. Man, that's 1993, I guess. Yeah, Jurassic Park. Was 93,
yeah, they made,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they parodied so much things. But anyway, so we're just going to talk about like the first couple episodes, or at least the first one, because I only watched the first episode. It premiered in Hulu this past weekend. I think a lot of people were excited because the original cast members were back. Even them doing the I'm pretty sure this is on computer, but it looks like cell animation where, you know, 2D animation you're doing and whatnot, everything is backed in the sense of like the theme songs and whatnot, and I'm trying to remember who
not everything's back. What?
Not everything. No
yeah, there is like a couple things least are not back.
Yakko, Wakko, and Dot are back,
and Pinky in the Brain.
And Pinky in the Brain, yeah. But like Rob Paulsen is back, Jess Harnell is back, and Tress McKinley? Is that how you... Are those cast members?
I do not. I just recently watched a video of them three. I did not know how they looked. It's like insane. I don't know who plays Dot. That's the only one I don't know. I don't think the video I watched had Dot in it. It was a cast interview, but Dot wasn't in it. Unless one of them do play Dot, I don't remember.
I'm trying to figure it out right now how who's who on here. Oh, so here. It's McNeil.
Oh yeah, she wasn't there. Tress McNeely, it wasn't on the one I watched. It's only Bob Paulsen, Jess, and
Harnell.
And Mac Perry, who plays Brain.
Oh, yes. Okay. Maurice, that makes sense.
Blackberry, yeah.
But yeah, so what's your thoughts about the first episode, at least?
So when I watched this, we watched it with our kids. They didn't watch the original one, so they don't have no clue. My oldest son right now is like in this deep dive of whatever to watch. Like he, because of the lockdown and he's at home now mostly, he watched like all of Simpsons, all of... One Piece or whatever that thing, and not One Piece, I forgot that. My Hero Academia, I think that's what it's called. Like a whole bunch of shows, a whole bunch of kids shows. But he's actually like watching older shows. Like recently, he watched like The Simpsons and something else. He watched something else that was older, like DuckTales or something like that. So he wanted to watch this, but he couldn't find the original ones. I couldn't find it. Maybe they are on Hulu, but I didn't see it. So he watched this with us, and then he liked it. I liked it too, the first episode. I really like how they did the theme song of their new one. It's exactly the same, but when they go to the part where there's like Pinky and the Brain, and then they have to do the other two characters, I think it's the birds. I forgot the birds are called.
Well, the ones that are not there, yeah.
Yeah, yes, and the other one. So they do this whole thing like they didn't get tested well in focus groups, and that everything now is non-binary and diverse or something. But the thing about that joke, and then the very ending is like, we did something before you trolled us or something like that. Something weird. Like the thing about that joke, even though some people might, oh yeah, they're commenting like how everything is like that now. Like they have to be diverse and non-binary and all this other stuff. Like, you know. But to me, that... there's like I think Paul F. Tompkins is the one where I always get this from. Like there's two ways to tell a joke: you punch up or you punch down. up means like the people who are in charge. Punch down are people you don't really punch down as much. The funnier it is punching up. And I feel like when they did that joke, they're not punching down. I feel like they're acknowledging that people will talk about this, like all this, they're going to be diverse and have all this other stuff in it that you might not like, but we're going to show it either way. Like, you know, we're already ahead of the curve that you guys will talk about how we're going to put Donald Trump in here. Like, that's the thing. Like, the thing. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, they acknowledge it, but they're not making fun of it. They're like, no, we know it already, you guys. So just sit back if you don't like it. thing.
Well, one of the jokes is also when they were released from the water tower in the episode, they kind of even make fun of themselves because they kind of even pulled the curtain back where they literally said like the writing in here in this first episode is from 2018.
Oh, yes, yes.
So they don't even like, I was like, whoa. So they're doing jokes that were from like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So.
And then they like in later on in the episode, they'll talk about that too, like in reference to who's going to be president and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
So that's funny too. So like, it's weird. So this first episode is basically like a catch up of what's happening in the Warner lot, basically. So they even go to the security guy and he has like a drone and whatnot, Ralph. But then they go to the CEO. I guess she's a new character. I don't remember her.
She is. Okay. She is. Yeah.
Because it used to be the
remember
doc,
it was an
right?
old white man.
Yeah. No, he was a therapist. That's why. The in the original one. It was the
No, that's another person.
Oh, okay. Altogether. He's not. I don't see him in it. He's not in it.
Yeah. No.
So they have a different dynamic, but then the whole episode is basically them trying to get used to what's new in the world, and they do like a song. It's weird because my son only knows him as that meme, quote unquote. anything that references the old thing, it's a meme to him. So the meme he knows Animaniacs is the country song and the world song. I think there's two different ones, or United States song, right? And then there's a country one, right? Like, or the world.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think there's two different ones. Or is that periodic? No, am I thinking about GIF of Gab?
I don't know. No. You're right. You're correct.
Okay. But yeah. That's all his reference, but then they start singing the song about, like, I don't know if it's this episode or the next second episode, where they're talking about remakes and whatnot.
It's this episode. I literally did a joke where they told Yako, like, you can't do two songs in one episode.
Oh, yeah, yes. So they but he did do two songs, because that's not the formula they're used to. It's always, like, another series,
a story, and then something else.
No, it's their story, their main plot, not main plot, but whatever they're doing that episode. Then they go to Pinky and the Brain, then the other two, whatever, then another song or whatnot. But in that remake one, do you notice there's like a joke in there? I only saw it in Twitter when someone referenced it about whitewashing old boy. That's a good joke. Do you see the thing right where Dot is painting white on a brown fence, and then she painted it white, and she gets up to the old boy. I mean, and then that's a weird reference because I don't think kids know what the hell old boy is.
Yeah,
it's like if they reference Ghost in the Shell or something, like people don't know like what the not even Ghost in the Shell doesn't really be that was an anime, but old boy is like a thing that kids will never know. Like it's like that's a thing you don't show kids, like that type of film. So I was like, that's a cool joke, but I was like, that's a deep reference of what's
I think
happening.
It's mostly for the adults because even the original television show they have adult
The joke about the original one are people in their in their 30s in the original one who were writing it, but they grew up in the 50s, so they're referencing like Charlie Chaplin and all that stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Stuff like you won't understand the 90s. That's basically not 50s, 60s or 70s. They grew up in the 60s and 70s. Sorry.
Well, like it's basically like if you watch Apocalypse Now, you're gonna get this joke because it's from the 70s.
Yeah,
this is during the 90s episode. The episodes from the 90s. Yeah,
I think.
So they were like referencing movies from like the 70s and 80s for adults.
So like this first episode, they referenced Jurassic Park. And it's a really good reference because they're not making fun of Jurassic Park. They're making fun of that intro. Because the other people are just playing it straight. All the other characters, the, you know, the I forgot their names. the people, the characters. But it's their whole thing is that they're back and how they brought them back and show Steven Spielberg brought them back and how Hulu's in there. He's the lawyer guy in there. So I was like, that's a really good joke. It's like, they're not really making, it's not a parody of Jurassic Park. It's a parody of like, how do you bring them back? And you're referencing Jurassic Park, a scene that everyone knows, like iconic scene of seeing the dinosaurs for the first time. I thought it was really cool. What was the Pinky and the Brain? Oh, the Pinky and the Brain is literally about memes. I just thought about that. Like, so that one too didn't change that much. Like the joke is always Pinky is an abusive relationship with Brain. To me, yeah. Always. It feels like abusive race mentally or emotionally and mentally with him. It's kind of odd thing when you actually watch it now. It's like, oh, that's kind of weird. But yeah, and then it's still the same joke. Like they try to take over the world and then he doesn't because Pinky did something goofy and that's it. And then, I mean, it's funny, but it's not like funny as I remember. And that they had their own show too, I remember, back in the day. Like when Animaniacs was on, they branched off.
Yeah, yeah. There's that one, Freakazoid.
Wait, Freakazoid was part of Animaniacs?
They were like...
you mean that block of cartoons. Yeah, block. Yes.
Tiny Toons Adventures. Yeah.
They mentioned Tiny Toons. No, Looney Tunes. They mentioned Looney Tunes. So because it's owned by WB, now they can do more stuff. Like, they live in WB, but because WB bought so many stuff now, like, you know, Harry Potter, what is it? DC. Yeah, all that stuff.
I mean, they've always had DC.
Yeah, but now they're more referential of DC more than ever. So it's kind of cool. I don't think they made fun of DuckTales. I think they just made fun of DuckTales with real ducks. that was a joke. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the second one.
Can't wait until
they
do Watchmen.
Oh, yes. I haven't watched the anime episode that everyone talks about. Oh, wait, if they do it, Watchmen, that would be insane. if they did Watchmen. Parody, but yeah, there's like an anime episode everyone talks about. I haven't watched it. I want to see that one, but I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, my same thoughts. I thought it was well written. I think it is really good for people who have like fondness of the show when they were kids. Like when you and I were watching it, I think we were in third grade, going into like, you know, fourth and fifth grade, so we were very young watching it. And I don't think people know this, but there was this thing called Fox Kids before Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Kids.
Yep. Yep. They told us about how states are rolling mystery ballots and whatnot.
Yeah. Then after, I think they were bought by. So it's so crazy, I think, because how Fox was owned on its own, like, you know,
they were owned by
Warner Brothers, and then they created Kids WB, but now Fox is owned by Disney, so it's kind of
weird.
They, at one point, the Animaniacs could have been a Disney property at one point,
mm-hmm.
if they stayed with Fox the whole time.
It is weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of cool. I think everything is cool, like in the sense of like how they're using references and parodies and satire. I don't think anything. I didn't feel like it was too forced. It does get kind of tiring if they keep on mentioning it. Oh, we're in 2020 or whatever. I think this first episode was a good starter, but I don't think they don't need to keep on mentioning that they're new to all this. Mm-hmm. I think they already did the whole tablet thing. And they like got all the, they know every reference now. So they don't have to do like their third or fourth episode saying, oh yeah, this was a thing in the 90s, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully they don't do that. Because I think that gets tiring after a while.
Yeah.
Like just do your thing, what you normally do before.
I didn't know. So they're owned by Warner Brothers. Like from the very beginning, they're owned by Warner and Amblin Entertainment. It explains why Steven Spielberg is like producing or not. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, okay, that's why he's so into it.
But I think at one point, they were in Fox Kids owned.
They do the whole thing where, you know, you go to a network and then you, even though like you produce it, they're the ones that are airing it, I guess.
Yes. But yeah, that's Animaniacs. Do you have anything else to add?
No. I think you guys should watch it.
Yeah, it's a good kids show. I think looking forward to how they're going to do this series throughout this year, because knowing that it's probably from 2018, unless they stopped and then start making them again, I don't know how they're actually going to do this series, you know, post 2020.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's 13 episodes, so.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, so that's Animex on Hulu. If you have a Hulu account, please watch it.
Oh my god, we talked about so much stuff, like all the different streaming services.
Yes. Before we leave, just want to say that, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, that please be safe. We're always wear your mask, of course. It's hard to believe that I'm still continuing to say this. I remember saying this, mentioning this in June, or what is it, May or June, around that time. But yeah, continue to social distance. If anything, please do not go to your family's, like, uncle's house. Just stay home.
Especially if they're elderly and has, like, yeah, chronic conditions that might, you know, kill them if you...
Yes.
If they have any exposure. You want a
slice of turkey and pie. And yeah.
Yeah.
I know everyone is having this pandemic fatigue I hear about. And I think after... probably after this couple months, we'll probably get something good in the beginning of next year. We'll see. But yeah, still
maybe something in January 20th. No, no.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. I don't know if we know what's happening anymore.
Yeah, but yeah, please just be safe and try not to endanger the people around you. But yeah, wear a mask and whatnot. But yeah, so John, where can they find you online?
You can find me on YouTube at Date Night, if you type that in, or at my YouTube channel, Abaya Arts. It's also featured on the Freaking Awesome YouTube channel, if you can go there too. And you can find me on Twitter at the most organized Twitter feed of 20XX at Abaya Arts.
You could find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. You could find all of us online at... TheFreakingAwesome.com. You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter at TFA Now. If you want to engage with us on Facebook or our Discord server, you can also do that at The Freaking Awesome. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a comment on iTunes or Google Play. If you have any concerns, comments, or even corrections, or even recommendations, please contact us at TheFreakingAwesome.com. All of this will be in our show notes, so if you have trouble finding it, it will be in our show notes. But yeah, thank you again, John. Thank you for listening. And that is our housekeeping. That's an inside joke, behind the scenes joke for those who are listening. But yeah, just remember that word, housekeeping. It's a good word.
Oh, is that the word of the day? In Auntie Donna, there's a word of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Housekeeping is the word. That's the word of the day.
So they do follow Pee-wee's playhouse really well.
You see how much they follow.
Okay. But yeah, thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.